And due to the wonders of recorded technology, we're coming to you today from the green room at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center, where we're talking to Alejandro Cerrudo. He is resident choreographer with Hubbard Street Dance Chicago, and he's guest choreographer with Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. And Tom Mossbrooker is here. He is the artistic director of Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
It's great to have you, and we're really excited because tonight is the world premiere of a new piece that is choreographed by Alejandro. It's called Last, and that's tonight and tomorrow. It's part of the summer program of the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet here in town, here at the Lenzic. So you are a choreographer with Hubbard Street. Now, there's a longstanding relationship between Hubbard Street and Aspen Santa Fe Ballet.
Correct.
How's that work?
Well, first of all, the director of Hubbard Street is one of my closest friends, Glenn Edgerton. He's the artistic director. We were colleagues at the Joffrey Ballet when we were 18 years old, and so we go back a very long way. I also had a very short guest appearance with the Hubbard Street. It was a three-month period. I went with them on tour.
As a dancer.
As a dancer. This was in the 90s. And we've always loved the company, and a lot of people have compared the two companies. And so there is that sort of relationship between the two companies.
Now, Alejandro, you're from Spain, and you have a very long dance career, and although you're a very young man, dance is a career that starts very young. How did you go from dancing to choreography? Did you always want to be a choreographer?
Well, you do that transition quite slowly, and you never know if you have any talent as a choreographer until you try. But the first time I tried to choreograph was almost to become a better dancer. I thought if I would feel what a choreographer feels, then I would know what to do as a dancer to become a better tool for that choreographer. So that was my first, the first reason why I tried to choreograph. But then,
did it work?
It did work, definitely. I think every dancer should try to choreograph at least once, just to know what it feels like and what the choreographer expects from the dancer and how you can be more useful to the choreographer. But it was after those first couple of tries that I became really passionate about it and very intrigued by all the possibilities that choreography can bring.
And then did you stop dancing?
No, I'm still dancing. I'm still a dancer with Hubbard Street Dance Chicago. And I'm slowly stopping, but not quite yet. I think dancing really enriches me as a choreographer. But it's really hard also to do both at the same time.
Yeah. Now, this piece is called Last, and I had the great privilege of seeing a dress rehearsal of it just a little while ago, and there are so many different elements to the piece. There's visual, almost like if you took a still photograph of it, there's very dramatic visual sense of it, and then there's a movement sense of it, there's lighting, there's costumes, there's music. There's the way people are made up, and the whole thing comes together in an integrated way. And I was wondering, in your process as choreographer, where do you start? Does it come to you at once? Does one thing come to you first?
I haven't done one piece yet where everything is in my head from the start and I finish that way. I doubt that it will ever be that way. It usually, for me, starts with the music, and then once I listen to a music that I feel inspired by, I start to start imagining what the piece could look like, what sort of atmosphere I want for that piece of choreography, and then the movement comes a little bit later. Of course, until I don't come to the studio, for me, I don't know really what the movement is going to be. I create very much in the studio. I don't have with the steps set in my head before I go to the studio. I like that collaboration with the dancers and that exchange of creativity, and I like to get them as engaged as possible. So they bring movement to my ideas, but I don't impose all the movement in them on the dancers.
So I suppose different choreographers work in such different ways. I mean, Tom, having worked with so many different people, there are some who are probably walking outside and they get a whole lot of the movements in their head before they even go into the studio.
Some people come in with a detailed notebook with everything written down. They have a very clear idea of what they want to do. But like Alejandro said, It's a very collaborative process. And it was funny, the first few days that he was working, the dancers would say, now, do you want it like this or like that? And he would say, I don't know. I don't know yet. Or let's explore. Or what do you think it should be? And he really gives the dancers a lot of ownership in the work. And it's very inspiring for them to work
that way. I was wondering about that, because as I was watching it, I was sort of, the question came up inside of me, like, how collaborative are the dancers in this piece? Does their improvisation, does their sense of artistry about movement affect your choreography? And I guess it really does.
It definitely does. And I won't, you know, if I come to Aspen Santa Fe Ballet to make a piece, I want them to be the best ones at that work. You know, if another company would later get this piece, I hope they're not as good as Aspen Santa Fe, because I make them for these dancers.
Right.
So I want them, you know, to be, you know, the best they can at this work. And my goal was to take the best out of them for this piece and put it in showcase for the audience to see. But I want them to make us look as good as possible, of course.
Right, right. Well, it has very much that Aspen Santa Fe Ballet feel to it. And is it a piece that you could take to other dancers?
I think I could, but of course it would be very, very different. These dancers are very special, and they're bringing something very personal. Each one of them is bringing something very personal to the work. So this piece in another company would look completely different.
Tell us about the music for this piece. We're talking to Alejandro Cerrudo about his world premiere of a dance called Last with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet.
The piece is by a composer, Polish composer, Henry Gorecki. He passed away in 2010. And this piece of music is titled Kleines Requiem for Eine Polka. That's a German title. The translation would be something like Little Requiem for One Polka. And it's a very dramatic piece of music, but at the same time it has some undertones of humor and something... I love it. It's very dramatic, but at the same time very, very contemporary and very very pure, very simple.
There's the sounds of bells a lot throughout the piece. There's violins. There's parts where it's a whole almost orchestral score with that feels more like a traditional ballet. And so for each of those, how did you choreograph them according to the different kinds of music?
Well, I don't think very much when I choreograph. I do it from a very visceral point. So I just listen to the music, and I don't think... some people might think this is terrible, but I don't think about the history of the music or even the subject of the music. Some music was written and the music is telling a story. I'm never thinking about that story and just thinking about what is the feeling or emotion that music is bringing to me, not necessarily what the composer was trying with the music.
Right.
So I don't think about those things. I just listen to the music and let it inspire me from my point of view, regardless of what the music is supposed to tell or to...
Right.
Well, I remember when you came to me, he was originally had some other ideas, and then all of a sudden he came to me and said, oh, I think I really want to use this piece of music. I'm very excited about it. And just the excitement, you know, in his voice is what he's talking about, that he was inspired by it and it did something to him emotionally.
Now, what is your role as artistic director when you're working with a choreographer? How do you work together with the dancers? What's each person's role in this?
Well, really, my role is to provide the best possible environment for Alejandro. And then while he's here, and then after he leaves, my role is to make sure that the ballet has the artistic integrity that it had before he left, or that we take it to the next level, or that, you know, that just that we keep it what it is. You know, we're a repertoire company. We don't have a resident choreographer. We have many resident choreographers. One of the big things that we like to do is build relationships with choreographers. We're so thrilled to be able to borrow him. He you know, he's used to having the Hubbard Street dancers. He works with them over and over. And when he came here, it was a learning curve to get to know the company and us getting to know him. And we're hoping to build the same kind of relationship with Alejandro that we have with other choreographers. But it's very important to keep Alejandro's ballets looking different than Nicola Fonte's ballets, different than Yorma Ello's ballets, different than Cayetano Soto, so that each choreographer brings a unique voice to the company.
Alejandro, what are some of your other inspirations? You talked about music, you talked about the dancers themselves. Do you have other choreographers, other types of dance that you draw on?
Well, I think inspiration is something that comes to me that I don't look for. Or, well, hopefully it comes to me if I'm lucky. But, you know, what I can have from other choreographers are influences, which is different than inspiration. And influences are not always volunteer. You know, it's not something that you do on purpose. You know, something that it goes with you. It's with who you are and what you experience in life and in your career. Of course, the people that you work with, it's going to have influence on you, people that you talk to, and everything that you do every day influences you, even if you don't know it or if you're not so aware of it. So where I find inspiration, I don't know either. Sometimes in the weirdest places, even maybe in this interview, you know, maybe there's something that we talk about that for my next ballet, it gives me this idea for, you know, to make this specific moment or a movie or even just walk in the street, but it can be very, very random. It's not always a poem or
right.
You know, or... or a painting, you know, it can be something that is really non-artistic that can inspire you.
Right, and I was thinking, because in watching your piece, there is a dance, sense of dance combined with kind of normal pedestrian movements from time to time, and, you know, one goes to so many, over the course of one's life, choreographers' showcases and people who are maybe doing their first piece, and some of them aren't that great, and some of them blow you away. And one of the differences, I think, is that in a gesture, if the gesture is empty, there's a sense of empty theatricality to it, and if it's full, there's a meaning to it, and although you can't put words to it, the gestures have their own sort of poetic meaning. Do you know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about? And I was thinking about that watching your piece, because there was this sense of meaning that I could not tell anybody what it was in words,
yep.
that was held in that dance. And that's something that I think, in a way, I suppose you cultivated over years, but you can't make that happen.
And
you just hope it does.
What you said about not being able to put into words, that's why we do it.
Right.
It's something that you can't describe, you have to see.
Tom Mosbrucker, tell us about the other two pieces that are on the program tonight and tomorrow at the Lenzig.
Well, as you know, Alejandro's piece is a world premiere, which we're excited about. We also commissioned another work this year. It was called Score None by a young choreographer named Norbert de la Cruz.
Oh, yeah,
and
that was really good.
I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing that. A lot of people didn't see it yet. And then we're doing a piece by Cayetano Soto, another Spanish choreographer who we worked with many times.
Right.
It's called Kiss Me Goodnight.
Is that a new one, or is it one you've done?
It's not brand new. We did it a couple summers ago, I think.
Okay.
But it's to music by Beirut. And it's very fun, and it's really lighthearted. It was something that he created for his mother to try to make her smile.
Very nice. Now, you've got the Hong Kong Ballet coming?
The Hong Kong Ballet is coming on July 31st for one night only.
Tell us about that.
Well, we're really thrilled to have them. They don't make many appearances in the United States. And in fact, this is only the third of three stops that they're making. The first one is in Jacob's Pillow. And then they're going to be performing in Aspen, Colorado. We're bringing them there.
Right.
And then here to Santa Fe.
What is their work like?
It's also contemporary work, but it's classically based. And
meaning point shoes and tutus?
No, not tutus, but, you know, they're classically trained. And it's going to be a contemporary classical repertoire.
Is there an Asian influence?
Not really.
Not really. Very interesting.
But I would certainly probably in the training and the, you know, the atmosphere of the company.
Do you feel, Alejandro, like, I mean, you're obviously a Spaniard, but you've also lived in all sorts of, and danced in other countries, many other countries. Can you feel, I don't know if it's something you can even talk about, but if there is a Spanish sense in your work?
Well, I think there is some Spanish character in the way I rehearse. I don't know if in my work itself, but again, almost what I was saying before, that I mean, I'm Spanish, is in me, so there's going to be something Spanish, even if I don't try, you know. So that doesn't mean we're going to see flamenco on stage and, you know, castañuelas, but there is something that, you know, of course, in my work or the way I work is there from my culture, Spanish.
Talk about the similarities between Hubbard Street and Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. You guys have both said that the companies are very similar. What is that like? What do you mean?
Well, I think that they're both contemporary dance companies. That's the first similarity. They're both companies that are not very large in number of dancers. The Hubbard Street, I think, is 16, and Aspen Santa Fe is 10.
11.
Mm-hmm. And both dance companies are, I think, one of the best contemporary dance companies in the country. So those are the, you know, the main similarities between Aspen Santa Fe and Chicago.
I also think another, both companies are very interested in looking forward rather than looking back.
Ah, very interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, just, you know, finding the next generation of choreographers and creating art. A lot of companies really, you know, with the tough economic times, have stopped creating. They're bringing back older works, or, you know, they say, oh, let's do the full-length ballets, or let's do... But both of our companies have always been committed to looking forward and creating art. And, I mean, Hubbard Street, we just saw them in Aspen. It was amazing. You know, they did a whole evening of commissioned work. One was by Alejandro. And, you know, to be able to continue creating work like that is so important and really elevates the company to another level, and something that we've strived to do as well.
I was reading a book about by a man who works as, he basically takes failing dance companies and arts organizations and turns them around and makes them viable again. And he said one of the things that's so hard in dance compared to even one generation ago is you used to be able to get space very cheaply, and it didn't cost much to rehearse and all of that. And now it's just so expensive, and people don't take risks as much because there's so much involved in getting a piece that will be successful because of the way grants work and all of that.
Well, you're right. It is a risk, but if you don't take the risk, you're not, you know, vibrant, you're not fresh, you're not new. So it's a double-edged sword a little bit. You have to keep looking forward.
Tom Mosbrucker is artistic director of Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. Alejandro Cerrudo is resident choreographer with Hubbard Street Dance Chicago and guest choreographer with Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. His world premiere is called Last, and it premieres tonight. It's tonight and tomorrow, two parts of the summer program at Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, and it's at 8 o'clock at the Lenzic. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Bye.
And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us many Fridays. Speaking of the art, it's so great to have you.
It's so great to be here on Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. That's good luck for the opening of Folk Art Market.
Beginning of Folk Art Market. There's Art Santa Fe. There's all kinds of things happening this weekend.
That's so true.
And this week.
But then why would it possibly be that I would start by talking about the cat of the week?
I don't know, because it's a great way to get started.
I can't explain it, but here we
have. Dog of the week. What about the dog of the week?
There's no dog of the week. Anybody want to send me a dog of the week, go ahead. But right now we have the featured cat, which is Casey, who's a very sweet, talkative, and outgoing cat who would prefer a quiet home with no children. And although she gets along with other mellow cats, she would kind of like to be the only kitty. And she's a beautiful girl with a short coat and brown tabby markings with large white areas. And if you would like to adopt this lovely cat, call 505-316-2281. You can go to fnfnm.com. org, and that stands for Felines and Friends, New Mexico.
Hey, did you read that recent study that they did, or the results of the study that said that, that people who own cats are more likely to be a little off?
You mean...
Did you read that?
Committers of felonies, or...
No, like, woo-woo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And more like, likely to be suicidal, too.
That's awful.
Well, it's great, but next time you have a cats versus dogs, you know, thing on the radio,
I
you
know,
can,
we haven't done that for a while.
I'll print the study out for you. You can.
That's terrible. I don't believe it. On behalf of all cat lovers, I don't believe it.
Okay. I love cats, too. I'm just saying. I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
So what's going on this weekend?
What's going on? Besides the fact that I, like, dug my hand into a cactus this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
That's very bad.
Well, that's what happens when you move into a new house. Things just get put randomly somewhere until you figure out where to put them.
Oh, you mean an indoor cactus.
Yeah, my partner decided to put two large cactus on the back of a toilet, and I was using the toilet, and... Yeah, it was... It
very
was,
bad partner.
It was just to my hand. Let's just say it could have gone very, very wrong.
Oh.
All right. Anyway, I want to announce first that I talked to Nacha Mendez last night, and she is doing Latin world music at El Farol every Sundays now, every Sunday starting at 7 o'clock, and there's no cover, and she's going to have some special guests with her. So that's every Sunday at 7 at El Farol, the... tavern that is Santa Fe, and she's great. She's got more than that show, but she wanted me to particularly mention this one.
Excellent.
So I did.
And what about the Taming of the Shrew?
Yeah.
Santa Fe Playhouse.
Yes.
Starting, well, yesterday and going through the 15th, and of course, it's the Arden Shakespeare Festival. It's 1 week only, a cast of local actors from Broadway to the London West Side, and it's at the Santa Fe Playhouse. So 8 o'clock, July 11th through 14th, and July 15th at 2 in the afternoon. For more information, you can go to, you can call 428-8096.
For some
reason, you should see them. It's fun. It's I saw
the Arden players.
Yeah, they're good, and I saw a workshop of that a while back, and it's very funny and great.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Shakespeare going on. Right now.
I know.
There's the Santa Fe Shakespeare Society. I had no idea there was such a thing anymore.
I know.
And in conjunction with the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, we're presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream. Okay. And their performance is at 6 p.m. tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday. And they continue Fridays to Sundays through August 12th, excluding Friday, August 3rd, I believe there is no. But it's cool. It's in the band shell on the university campus.
Yeah, it's in the band shell, and I think it's kind of in front of the band shell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an outdoor, I don't know. I mean, we'll see, you know, weather-wise. Bring an umbrella and a blanket anyway, just to be safe. An umbrella to stay out of the rain and to stay out of the sun, because there's really no shade there.
Excellent point.
Yeah, there's a couple of shady trees, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but by that time of the evening, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. But I don't. But it's kind of hard to hear if you're sitting out in the middle of the grass, and you know, unless all the players
unless you
are,
have an umbrella.
Yeah, unless all the players are mic'd up, which I doubt they'll do for Shakespeare.
Well, I think the idea of having it in front of the band shell is it reflects the sound out into the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we have it, Taming of the Shrew, ladies and gentlemen. What else?
Taming of the Shrew. We have Taming of the Shoe, Bobby Shoe.
Ah.
Right? Is going to be playing his trumpet. And he's leading a quartet on Wednesday, July 18th, as part of the Music on the Hill series at St. John's College.
Awesome.
Okay. I believe it's from 6 to 8 p.m.
And KSFR is always up there?
Yes, KSFR is always up there. And you know, I haven't been to one of these things in so long. I need to get up there and do it. And
they're
I love
fun.
Bobby Shue.
Yeah.
I love the Bobby Shue. Saw Bobby Shue a few weeks ago. And, I dig it, man. I really dig it. And then we also have Lucinda Williams, who's playing at the Lenzing.
Awesome.
Right? She plays, let me see when she plays.
Is all the New Mexico Jazz Festival?
Is that part of the New Mexico?
I don't know.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. But sorry, my brain just leapt forward.
But anyway, that's also Wednesday, July 18th, and it's at the Lenzing, and you can call 988-1234 for tickets. Lucinda Williams for all you sort of country rock fans out there.
Don't we have a jazz? What's on the front cover of your Paso Tiempo there?
Oh, yes, the New Mexico Jazz Festival is taking place.
Right, that's what I was looking at.
I'm trying to find information right in front of me.
Well, while you do that, I will let people know that on Monday, the 16th of July, the public is invited to an opening of the Los Alamos Peace Project in Los Alamos at the Bradbury Science Museum from 1 to 5. They will mount an installation on the wall of the public forum space there, and it's all about world peace. And that's, again, Monday afternoon in Los Alamos at the Bradbury Science Museum.
Okay, I have located the Jazz Festival information on page 32 and 33 of the Paso Tiempo.
Most excellent.
There's a story, there's a schedule. Paul Weideman is our resident jazz freak, and he's written quite a bit about it. So we've got Stephanie Rumble is at Outpost Performance Space tonight. We've got, there's a lot of events that are happening in Albuquerque, but we have the Doug Lawrence Organ Trio is playing on Tuesday the 17th in Santa Fe on the Plaza.
Okay.
So that's a free one there, right? That's got to be a free one. Then we have Regina Carter's Reverse Thread. There's a great story in Paso Tiempo today, and that is Thursday, July 19th. And then, you can go to the Jazz Festival website, or you can pick up a copy of Paso Tiempo and find out all the other great events. And, of course, I'll mention them next week and the week after.
Yay. And Art Santa Fe.
Art Santa Fe. My editor went to the Vernissage last night. I didn't go. I was at the Folk Art Market opening celebration party. But it's looking, Art Santa Fe is looking very promising this year.
Oh, that's very good to know.
Yes.
SOFA West is not this year.
Well,
remember last year and the year before?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was Art SOFA and then Art Santa Fe right in a row. And now there's just Art Santa Fe. And I don't know, maybe there'll be an extra concentration of good work there.
There is.
Barbara Rose is the keynote speaker, and she's going to be speaking, I believe it's tomorrow night at the New Mexico History Museum.
Yes, it's 6:30.
Yeah.
And there's a small cover for that. But if you go to Ticket Santa Fe at the Lenzic, you can find out ticket information for the event. Just 3-day passes are available. Some wonderful galleries and some wonderful artists are represented this year.
And Barbara Rose is terrific.
Yes, Barbara Rose is terrific.
We had a nice conversation on the air, and she is going to be speaking about the influence of medieval art on modern artists, which is something that she's been doing a lot of research on.
Interesting.
Yes.
Michael Abadamarco, our newest staff writer, has written about Art Santa Fe in today's Paso Tiempo. So, and here's a really cool event I wanted to talk about really quick. I wrote about it in my Soundwaves column. Wednesday, July 18th is third annual World Listening Day. Do you know anything about this?
No, but I'm listening.
Okay. So a couple of years ago, the World Listening Project and the Midwest Society for Acoustic Ecology created this World Listening Day event in conjunction with the birthday of a composer named R. Murray Schafer, who wrote this book in the 70s called Tuning of the World, this event is multifaceted, but at O'Shaughnessy Performance Space on July 18th, there's going to be discussions, there's going to be a listening. Jason Goodyear, who teaches music production and other things at the college, is going to lead listeners on a sound walk around the campus of Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
Very cool.
Right. And then he's going to create a found noise piece in real time, and he's going to try and get the audience to participate somehow. And then there's Jim Cummings, who's the co-founder of the Acoustic Ecology Institute, is going to talk and lead a listening session. And all this stuff is basically free, you know?
Free is great.
Right. And then after all of these events on on Wednesday, things get started at like 5:30, by the way. But afterwards, at like 10 o'clock, there's going to be a World Listening Day concert. And that's from like 10 to midnight or however long it goes. And that's also in O'Shaughnessy Performance Space. So
excellent.
All kinds of events.
Now, have you heard that a Balkan a cappella trio is called Black Sea Hotel?
Yeah.
Will be singing.
They're from New York.
They're from New York.
They're from New York.
They're Balkan, but they're from New York.
Yeah. The Balkans from Brooklyn.
They're singing the Balkan Brooklyn. They're singing today at 5:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church downtown at 208 Grant Avenue. And which is a wonderful acoustic space. And that Balkan acoustic music can be so just moving and beautiful and haunting and mysterious and lovely. And for more information, 982-8919.
982-8919.
And on Saturday from 3 to 4:40, oddly enough, they're holding a workshop for those who want to learn about Balkan singing styles.
Neato.
Yep.
Hey, have you heard about this kaleidoscope event that's happening at CCA?
Why, no.
You have not? Let me tell you about it. It's the second annual Kaleidoscope event. It's a series of events and exhibits that celebrate bicycle culture and art. So there's going to be art, some of it bicycle-themed, some of it not. There's going to be a bike ride. They're going to be screening bicycle, cycling-related films. So let's see. There's an opening night party at CCA tonight at 5 p.m. There's going to be a bicycle beauty pageant that's sort of presented by Mello Velo, the local bicycle shop here. There's all kinds of weird categories like best commuter bike, elegant, macho, funky. And let's see, what else is happening? Oh, well, you got to be there at 6 to register for the beauty pageant.
I want to be in the beauty pageant riding the macho bike.
Riding the macho bike? Me too. And there's also going to be a photo booth, and there's going to be the movie screenings tonight. But the screenings repeat at 1 p.m. on Sunday, the 15th and the 22nd of July. Earlier in the day, you can participate in a Kaleidoscope opening ride and head by Kakawa Chocolate Shop and grab a... The Station Cafe. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Over there in the rail yard.
Okay.
And they'll hook you up with a free little treat there. And then 4:30 p.m., there's a ride to the opening that begins on the southwest corner of the downtown plaza near the Plaza Bakery. So if you go to kaleidoscope.com, you can find out more information on this event. I think it's important. I mean, I just moved to town. I'm dying to get back on my bike. Unfortunately, it's still strapped to the top of my partner's car.
Yeah, well, bicycling in this city is insane.
Yeah.
You know what the latest thing is? There's all this junk in the bike lanes. They just put stuff in the bike lanes.
Yeah, they just sweep it over to the side.
Yeah, signs, sandbags.
Cigarettes, hypodermic needles, you name it.
Summer show at Charlotte Jackson is up until the 25th of this month. And at Chiaroscuro, Australian Contemporary Indigenous Art is opening today and running through the 8th of September. And at 8 Modern, Jimmy Tsutomi Mirikatani is also an opening today. Artist reception from 5 to 7.
Do you know anything about this guy, Jimmy Mirikatani? It's an amazing story.
Yeah, that's the it goes with the film.
The film screened for one night only on the 12th.
Right.
But this exhibit at 8 Modern is a lot of his drawings. Basically, he's 92 years old. I interviewed the producer of the film because he just doesn't do interviews anymore. If I was 92, I'd want to be left alone.
Yeah.
Also. But I went by and saw the drawings on the walls at 8 Modern yesterday, and they're gorgeous. And this guy's had, I mean, at the age of 25, he was put in a Japanese internment camp in California. He was born in Sacramento. When he got out of the internment camp, basically, while he was there, he had to renounce his citizenship, and he became an enemy of the United States. And he spent decades not having a country. Basically, he had no social security number. I mean, he did, but he didn't, you know, once he got out.
Right.
And ended up homeless on the streets.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Selling his drawings in Washington Park Square to survive.
Right.
And around 9/11, he was sort of, quote-unquote, discovered by this filmmaker. And she took him into her apartment and sort of helped him along the way. And the film is basically about, you know, what effect 9/11 had on him and how it sort of changed his drawings from drawing pictures of these beautiful cats to drawing pictures of the internment camp. And I mean, it's a very sad story, and it's a beautiful film. It should have screened more than once in Santa Fe.
Yeah,
I hope
it screened
they bring
a few
back.
Years ago. I remember, yeah. I had the filmmaker on. It's called The Cats of Mirikatani.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely worth checking out.
There's some excellent films worth checking out this weekend.
Would you like to give us some examples?
I will give you some examples straight away. The first is The Fairy, which is reviewed by Laurel Gladden in today's Positempo. And it's basically about being granted three wishes, and it's comic, and there's a lot of sight gags and a lot of absurdist physical comedy. She gave it three chilies, and that's playing at the screen. And then we have...
That reminds me of a joke about the genie who granted three wishes to three people stuck on a desert island.
Is it dirty?
No. Not really.
You're not going to tell it, are you?
No. But you can come to the Bacon Company after, and I'll tell you.
Okay. And then we also have Patience after Sibbald, which is this sort of... It's a pretty heady movie. I mean, it's actually very difficult to explain. You have to see it to understand it. But Jonathan Richards actually reviewed it in today's Boston Tempo. He gave it 3.5 chilies.
Excellent.
And Mr. Richards does not use those half chilies lightly.
No.
And then we have the CCA, the summer-long celebration of Japan's Studio Ghibli, the anime studio.
Anime. Got to get over to those. Yeah. Bring your kids.
I have a little pass, so
morning
I can go
time.
Anytime I want.
Yeah.
But this one is great. This is a 1991 feature by Isao Takahata that is rarely seen in the United States. It's called Only Yesterday, and it's about this woman who's looking back on her life and wondering what happened to all the promises of her youth. And it's gorgeously rendered. It's not rated. It's 118 minutes. It's in Japanese with subtitles, and it's at CCA Cinematheque.
Are you living the dream of your youth, Rob DeWalt?
I'm going through a midlife crisis.
Oh.
I just don't have any money for a Corvette. So.
More about that on the couch.
More about that on the couch. Yeah. I did buy a new couch. That was my Corvette.
Ah.
A couch vet. A nice big sprawling.
A couch vet sounds like there's going to be a veterinarian operating on your couch.
Well, that would be a way to make some extra money.
Right.
I suppose.
To make those couch payments.
It's a Rob DeWalt's backyard patio and animal hospital.
Today at 2 o'clock, Collected Works Bookstore and Folk Art Market present Elise Nelson for a reading from her new book, Vital Voices, The Power of Women Leading Change Around the World. And she's this woman is CEO of Vital Voices Global Partnership, which trains and empowers women, emerging leaders, and social entrepreneurs from all over the world. And also at Collected Works Bookstore on Sunday, Craig Barnes will be discussing the Citizens Action Group We Are People Here and its Reviving Democracy contest, calling all people who come together to reinstate civility. So that's Sunday morning at 11 in the morning. So talking about what we can do to kind of restore democracy in this crazy place known as our nation. And then on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, the Words and Music series continues with singer-songwriter Lori Fiorentino and special guest writer Sarah Leamy and Karen Maroli. Monday at 6 o'clock at Collected Works, book signing with Howard Anderson, author of the new novel Albert of Adelaide, and accurately described by the publisher as like Watership Down meets True Grit.
Oh, it's an awesome book.
Is it? Have you read it?
Oh, I've got two copies. You want
really?
One? It's, yeah, there's a pyromaniac wombat in the book. There's alcoholism. It's awesome. It's like Animal Farm, but totally dysfunctional.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. Awesome. And then on Tuesday at 6 o'clock, former Major League pitcher Johnny Antonelli will be at the bookstore signing copies of his new memoir, a baseball memoir. And in a seven-year stretch between 1953 and 59, Antonelli was among baseball's best hurlers, as they said. I guess that means pitchers.
Yes.
Compiling a 114-89 record, 22 shutouts and 9 saves. Anyway, he'll be there on Tuesday. Collected Works, your wonderful local independent bookstore.
Nino.
One of them.
One of them. There's many.
There's many. Garcia Street Books, don't forget that wonderful place. There's a lot going on. Yep, Opposite. I love them.
I love that. I would live in that store if they would let me.
I bought an excessive number of Moleskine notebooks there the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? They're a lot cheaper than some of the places you get Moleskine downtown.
I know. That's why I bought them.
Yeah. I was surprised when I went in and I was like, wow, I paid this. I'd just been to a shop in Tambusco where they sell Moleskine merchandise. And I was like, wow, talk about markup. One for...
My friend from Brazil calls it Moleskine.
Moleskine. Well, it's like diet mole sauce. Moleskine. Here's one for the all-ages set with a grand focus on the teens. Our good pal, Alex Monasterio and his friend Mickey Paws have put together this great electronic dance music event that's happening tomorrow night, beginning at 8, called Gadzooks.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be all kinds of people performing. DJ Jim E3, Mickey Paws, and Alex Monasterio will be performing, and DJ Dirt Girl. And then there's going to be this great performance by the Motion Sickness Hoop Troop. These guys are fun. Have you ever seen these hula hoopers?
Why, no.
You've got to get... they were, I believe some of them were down at the rail yard yesterday for the
International Park. Oh, I have seen them. Yeah, yeah. You think hula hoop is just silly, but the things people can do with hoops.
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe Angie Keene is in charge of the Motion Sickness Hoop Troop over there at Warehouse 21. You want to talk about getting rid of some extra pounds quickly?
Uh-huh.
The hoop.
Oh, I do.
The hoop, baby. It's
really?
All about the hoop.
Excellent.
Well, I mean, it's body shaping while exercising.
Does it
it's
really
awesome.
does having that thing go around your waist actually slim your waist? No way.
It tightens the muscles up for sure.
Uh huh.
I mean, it's good if you have a bad back. It's actually fairly good for you.
Oh, okay. So Monday.
I could talk about the hoop all day.
Well, but don't.
Okay.
Monday, Wild Earth Guardians is having an unique opportunity for people to lend some hands-on help to prairie dogs. They're looking for volunteers to prepare a new home in Glorieta for prairie dogs that are being moved away from the peril in this from peril in the city of Santa Fe. It makes me so sad. Oh my goodness, why do they have to get rid of the prairie dogs in Santa Fe?
But why do they have
I
to
love them
why
so.
Do they have to relocate them to my beautiful town of Glorieta?
Because they're wonderful. I don't know why Glorieta, but anyway, they're moving them on Monday. And if you want more information on caravanning to the house of the person who will then go out to the site, call 690-2553, and you can bring gloves. And if you have them, you can bring saws and clippers and wheelbarrows and things like that. But at least bring gloves, heavy gloves.
Yes.
Work gloves, not black evening gloves.
And a face mask so you don't get the plague.
Ladies and gentlemen, prairie dogs don't carry plague. They die of plague. There's this myth that prairie dogs are like running around carrying plague, but they are more vulnerable to plague than almost any other creature. And so if a prairie dog gets plague, it's dead within a day, and the whole colony is.
I was playing to the paranoids in your audience.
Well, the paranoids do not need any more paranoia.
Especially when it comes from a small creature, which...
A harmless keystone species that does a great deal for its environment by aerating the soil and all kinds of good things, anyway.
And it's delicious. What else is happening? I wanted to talk about this. There's tons of openings happening, but Verve Gallery Photography is having a show called Nocturnes. And let's see, it's Josephine Sicabo, and there's going to be... It's sort of like a photographs and poems by Dalt Wonk. And there's a reception and a book signing tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And that's Verve, right across the street from the beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexican building.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
Nice gallery. Yeah.
Gorgeous gallery. Nice space. We talked about the show at 8 Modern. Chiaroscuro has an opening of indigenous art, Australian indigenous art.
Yes.
And that's a group show. DR Contemporary, Art in America, paintings by David Rothermel. There's an opening party from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. And that's only up through Sunday, so if you want to get by there, it's 616 and a half Canyon Road. Good luck finding parking.
And don't forget, tomorrow at 4:30 at Randall Davey Audubon Center, the release of the new book, Rio Grande del Norte, 100 New Mexicans Speak for a Legacy. That's 4:30 in the afternoon, and all sorts of people, including New Energy Economy, have sponsored that book, and it looks to be a terrific book and a terrific event.
Did we talk about the Mono Mundo World Dance Festival?
Oh, Monkey World.
Yeah.
Mono means monkey.
Mono means one world.
No, mono means monkey in Spanish.
No, chango means monkey.
Mono is monkey.
Chango.
Both.
Okay.
I think chango is a Latin American slang.
I believe what they're trying to say here is one world dance.
Oh, I thought it was Monkey World.
Well, that would be awesome, too.
Yeah.
I'll go down there just for the monkeys. Anyway, this is on the plaza, so it's no charge. It's presented by the New Mexico Dance Coalition. There's going to be African dance. The Mosaic Dance Company is going to be there. There's the Belisama Irish dancers are going to be there. There's going to be a flamenco troupe. Julie Brett Adams and Echo Gustafsson are going to be there. And that's from 1 to 3 p.m. If you go to nmdancecoalition.org, you can find out more about who's performing.
Hey, you know what we haven't even mentioned?
What?
Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival.
I know. Go ahead.
It starts on Sunday and has
over
a month's worth of amazing concerts day and night, weekdays and weekends, here and there, all over the place. It's an amazing, amazing festival. And I had Steve Novitzky on the other day, and I was talking to him after the show, and he said that there are some people who come in and go to every single concert from out of town.
Wow.
They just rent a hotel room, and they go to every single one. But it's almost impossible to do that. But if you can do it, great. And don't forget also the Santa Fe Monthly Variety Show. That is this Sunday evening at Warehouse 21.
What is it?
It's the Santa Fe Monthly Variety Show. And Tone Forest is hosting it, and Stephen Jules Rubin is producing it and acting it, and lots of other people. And that should be a great fun way to see snippets of local talent doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all age. It's not just kids performing in these things either.
It's not kids.
It runs the gamut.
It's an adult thing.
It's an adult thing, but what I'm saying is it's at, just because it's at the teens. Oh,
right.
I mean, it's just teens. Right?
Right.
Right. Santa Fe Opera.
Yes.
More
What's happening tonight?
What is happening tonight? We've got Tosca is tonight. And I believe we've already covered that subject before.
Yes, we have.
Right?
In detail.
8:30 p.m. at the Santa Fe Opera, 7 miles north of Santa Fe. I'm going to go see the Pearl Fishers. Pearl Fishers on August 10th, I think. I'm waiting for the earlier performances.
Right, when the sun goes down earlier and they start the opera.
And I think that's a family night, too, and I really enjoy those.
Yeah.
But Santa Fe Opera is amazing this year. You can go to their website for a full schedule, or you can read Paso Tiempo for comprehensive coverage. You can read reviews the night after opening operas in the Santa Fe New Mexican by James Keller.
Aspen Santa Fe tonight and tomorrow at the Lenzic. And may I venture to say that the Santa Fe Opera is amazing every year?
Yes, that is true.
Yes.
Well, you always wonder how do they outdo themselves? How do they make it a more interesting experience than the year before?
Well, maybe you don't have to outdo yourself. Maybe you just do new cool things.
Yeah. It's about the programming and of course the talent.
And of course the talent.
And the sunsets.
All of those things together. Rob DeWalt, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you. Speaking of the arts, and if anybody wants to send a listing for this program, which we do every Friday from about 8:30 to 9, all they have to do is write to radiocafe@ksfr.org, which is my email. And what's the deadline for Paso Tiempo listings?
Paso Tiempo is now 2 weeks, Friday, 5 p.m., 2 weeks prior to the desired publication date.
Oh, okay.
This went into effect like a month ago or two months ago, so we're kind of still giving people a little leeway, but in the middle of summer, we're in a dead heat. It's the busiest time of year.
Right.
No breaks. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
So get it in early. You have an event happening 2 weeks from today. I need it by 5 today.
Excellent. Get it in early. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Rob DeWalt is from the Paso Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine, the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm gonna go like die of some weird cactus disease now.
Don't do that. Hey, we didn't mention what's happening at the screen, and so we can't do it now because it's too late. Oh, we did? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the screen, the CCA, and all of our other terrific movie theaters. We are streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. And we're at facebook.com/radiocafemc. And you can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thank you very much to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz.
Wow. And you got your extro in. We're so good today.
My extro.
Your
outro. All right. Everybody have a wonderful day. Hasta la vista.
Bye.
Ciao.